Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of December 1st. Chile's government is poised to reap financial rewards from massive expansion in the country's mining sector, but the environmental and social costs of this expansion could be great. Last week, Chile's Minister of Mining, Alfonso Delanto, spoke at the anniversary dinner of the Mining Council, an organization representing 17 companies from Chile's mining sector. At the event, Delanto told more than 100 mining executives that he expects the Chilean economy to receive up to $10 billion in fresh mining investment over the next 5 years. The state-owned Codelco Mining Corporation would provide 41% of this investment, while private sector companies would account for 59%. Of private sector investment, the largest projects are likely to be a $1.3 billion development of the Cerro Casale gold and copper mine, currently being plotted by Canada's Placer Dome, and $500 million expansions at three open-pit copper mines, Los Pelambres, majority-owned by the UK's Antofagasta PLC, Escondida Norte, majority-owned by Australia's BHP Billiton, and Collahuasi, whose major stakeholder is Canada's Falconbridge. Falconbridge is controlled by Canada's Noranda, a company with its own interests in Chile's mining sector. Noranda's Alto Norte copper smelter processes 160,000 tons of copper per year. A $170 million expansion at this facility, completed earlier this year, is expected to boost production to 290,000 tons each year, allowing the smelter to cope with increased output from the region's expanding mines. Chile is the world's number one producer of copper, with nearly 40% of the world's copper reserves. Copper prices on the global market have been rising steadily in recent months, thanks to soaring demand from China's burgeoning manufacturing sector. Faced with growing demand and returns for copper, Chile's government must find a way to capitalize on its mineral wealth while ensuring that foreign mining corporations respond to Chile's environmental and social concerns. Opinion polls suggest that up to 98% of Chileans believe that foreign-owned mining companies don't pay enough in corporate taxes and don't leave enough wealth in local communities. A majority of Chileans support the introduction of a royalty tax on copper to keep more mining profits within the country's borders. But foreign-owned mining firms vehemently oppose the move toward taxation. If royalty taxes are imposed, these corporations could pull their investments out of Chile, leaving the country's mineral wealth unexploited at a time of booming global demand. Or foreign-owned mining companies could lobby their home governments to address the tax issue at the World Trade Organization, potentially winning trade sanctions that could damage Chile's growing economy. Minister Delanto has tried to bridge this divide by walking a tightrope between Chile's government and corporate interests. Despite the push by government for a royalty tax on copper, Delanto has pledged to keep Chile's generous tax regime for foreign investors intact. Instead, the minister has launched a joint private and public sector roundtable on mining. The roundtable is set to close an agreement this week that will commit both the government and private mining interests to funding for mining research and technological development. The agreement may also try to commit foreign-owned companies to preferential treatment for Chilean suppliers of equipment and services. The extent to which such an agreement can regulate the activities of foreign mining companies will be limited by the rules of Chile's free trade agreements with Canada and the U.S. Free trade, along with growing demand for copper on the global market, has been a significant motivator for Canadian investment in Chile's mining sector. The Canada-Chile Free Trade Agreement, signed in 1997, provided improved access to the Chilean market for Canadian industrial equipment and machinery used in the mining sector. More significantly, the agreement loosened tax restrictions on Canadian investors in Chile, providing them with shelters and guarantees unprecedented outside of NAFTA. Because of beneficial rules like these, the Mining Association of Canada has urged the Canadian government to win similar deals throughout the hemisphere by pursuing a free trade agreement of the Americas. Noranda, a company with large stakes in Chile's mining industry, is a leading member of this association. At home, Noranda has a legacy of environmental damage. The company has paid more than $3 million in fines for environmental and human health breaches in the U.S. and Canada. In 1988, Noranda was taken to court for violating air pollution laws at its Horne smelter in Quebec, where emissions were reported to be 5 times greater than the legal limit. 1 year later, the company was fined for failing to install equipment that would lower emissions to legal amounts. Despite these slaps on the wrist, arsenic emissions from the plant increased between 1990 and 2000, from 45 to 60 tons per year. In 1998, Noranda was rated as Canada's number one emitter of arsenic and lead toxins. Noranda's Horne plant in Quebec was named Canada's second most polluting facility. In 1999, the plant was listed among North America's top 50 producers of carcinogens. In 2000, Naranda was fined $120,000 for improperly disposing of hazardous waste and failing to clean up oil spills at its aluminum plant in New Madrid, Missouri. In 2001, Naranda's Alto Norte copper foundry in Chile released emissions of sulfurous oxide sufficient to cause respiratory problems among local residents. Apart from overseeing the company's polluting activities in North and Latin America, Naranda executives have most recently been busy lobbying for a $2.75 billion aluminum smelting project in southern Chile. If approved, the project would amount to the largest foreign investment in Chile's history. The proposed Alamisa smelter would be located in Chile's Aysén Wilderness, part of the Patagonian mountain region shared with neighboring Argentina. This coastal wilderness is an important ecosystem for Chile. The Aysén region encompasses 11 million hectares of forest, wetlands, and glaciers, and 30% of Chile's lakes. The region is sparsely populated, and its few inhabitants work at fishing, logging, and tourism. Since August 2001, Naranda has repeatedly applied to the Chilean government for permits to construct an aluminum smelter in this area. The company already owns land on which the project would be built. The smelter would produce up to 420,000 tons of aluminum ingots per year, pumping more than 1.5 million tons of toxic gases and solid waste into the surrounding environment. Water contaminated by toxic runoff could damage regional salmon farms, a major source of income for the region and for the Chilean economy as a whole. The smelter would also consume vast amounts of energy, which Naranda has promised to supply by constructing 3 hydroelectric plants and 6 dams on local rivers. This would entail flooding 10,000 hectares of temperate rainforest and relocating at least 40 families. Roads and a new port would have to be built to transfer aluminum ore to the smelter, as the Alzheimer's-causing metal is not found naturally in Chile. In short, the project would transform a relatively pristine coastal wilderness into a network of paved roads, floodlands, and industrial equipment, devastating the physical beauty of this fragile bay area, eliminating the attraction of an important tourist site, and potentially destroying the local fishing industry. Naranda claims that the Alamisa project would boost Chile's economy and provide electricity to areas that have never had power before. Upon completion, the project could generate up to $300 million per year. But less than 5% of these revenues would remain in Chile's economy under current tax regulations, and according to Greenpeace, Chileans would be offered only 10% of the 8,100 jobs created by the plant. In response to news of the proposal, local citizens at Aysén formed the Reserve of Life Coalition to stop the project. Salmon farmers lobbied the government to oppose the plan. Greenpeace launched an international campaign in support of the fight. Chilean environmental authorities made 1,400 criticisms regarding the potential impact of Naranda's proposal. The approval process dragged on for 2 years as government officials questioned gaps in Naranda's research and documentation. Then in August, Chile's president Ricardo Lagos publicly stated that the Alamisa project should find a new location. Less than 2 weeks later, under pressure from local and international campaigns and with a slim chance for government approval, Naranda withdrew its environmental impact assessment for Alamisa. This withdrawal took place just 4 months before the government's Regional Environmental Commission was expected to give its final decision on the project. For now, Alamisa has effectively been put on hold. Observers believe that Naranda may try to pursue the project again after Chile's 2005 elections, when a more industry-friendly government might come to power. However, approval from the Chilean government is just one of 2 factors that will determine the project's fate. The other necessity is investment from a foreign partner to help shoulder Alamisa's hefty startup costs. A wide range of financial institutions from around the world have already invested in Naranda, including Braskem, the Canada Pension Plan, and Toronto Dominion Bank in Canada, Harris Investment, New Jersey's Public Pension Fund, and Merrill Lynch in the U.S., and Barclays, Credit Suisse, London Life, Goldman Sachs, and Deutsche Bank in Europe. Naranda's total assets amount to approximately $11 billion, and the company's stock has been rising steadily since the spring. Nonetheless, Naranda has just emerged in the last quarter from net losses that hounded the corporation in 2002. With slim profit margins and an asset-laden portfolio, Naranda will need to work out a deal with some other resource-extracting polluter to draw together the almost $3 billion required to kickstart Alamisa. While Naranda searches the globe for partners, Greenpeace has teamed up with the Reserve of Life Coalition and other Chilean environmental groups to campaign for the complete cancellation of Naranda's Alamisa project and to have the Aysén Wilderness protected from mining. Last month, activists held simultaneous protests in Toronto and in Santiago de Chile to raise awareness about the issue. Outside Naranda headquarters in downtown Toronto, a band of Chilean mariachis joined Greenpeace activists handing out leaflets with details of Naranda's Alamisa plans. In Chile, activists arrived at Naranda offices in green trucks with sirens, staging a mock arrest of Naranda's corporate criminals. For more information about the campaign to stop the Alamisa smelting project in Chile, visit www.greenpeace.org. And that's a wrap for your business report for the week of December 1st. Signing off, this is Auntie Bee's Knees, reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.